Good morning. It's good to see you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for this day you've given us and the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our youth mission team, and thank you that they're able to be here today and for your work in their lives as they went to Belize, and we're just thankful. Look forward to hearing the full report next week and hear them as they come and share briefly today. We pray your blessings on this service and on each person that will be filled with you and your Holy Spirit, that will live the truth every day. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, our youth and Warren are going to come and say a few words.
Good morning. Good to be with y'all this morning. We just wanted to come. We just bring our team forward this week and just give a thank you for the opportunity that y'all have given us to go serve as we went to San Antonio, Belize. We were gone the 19th through the 26th and just wanted to come and say thank you for the blessings, for the prayer. Just a week as we were there, I mean, absolutely just felt covered in prayer. Everything went so smooth. Every transition that we went to, from going to village, sharing with people, sharing and taking food to different people in different homes, to working with kids and doing little VBS-type kids camps different days through different villages. Just wanted to thank you for all the funds, the money that was raised. Just wanted to thank you for the prayer as y'all prayed for us as we were there. It was just a blessed week, and just thankful how God's Spirit moved. We had a bunch of adults who were not used to some of the conditions down there, as I wasn't either. Just being in the heat all day, working all day, and then going and trying to get some energy up to be with kids and lead other kids in different kids camps. Everybody was just so filled with energy, filled with the Spirit, and God just blessed every moment. We just wanted to come this morning to say thank you. Next week, Joe will be out of town, and we'll get that opportunity to share more of the details of what we did. But just seeing how God worked in so many of those villages and so many people that don't have the gospel brought to them every day, and just seeing how God moves and how His Spirit moves in different ways. And just what amazed me, one of the things that amazed me was testimony after testimony as we took food to people who were didn't have a lot, and prayed for them and their response, and talking about how they were led to Jesus, how they were led to a belief in Jesus, and how through sickness, through injuries, how many had people come pray over them. One man shared with us how he injured his back. He was down in his back and had people come pray over him, and he had an experience where he experienced angels in his room over him. He said, "I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know who Jesus was. But through my experience and seeing these angels, they led me to a belief in Jesus, and I know He is real, and I know that He has healed me." And to see how God works and their dependency on prayer and just who He is and their dependency on Him for everyday needs was just an awesome, awesome opportunity. And we just wanted to come before you and just say thank you so much. We're excited to share next week some of the stories and some of the things that we experienced. But we just wanted to say thank you. Does anybody have anything they want to add?
First, I want to say, where is Miss Ann? Okay, so Miss Ann is a rock star. Said we had her out in the middle of the jungle on some very interesting trails, and she never complained. She had run in there, and the students were literally just, y'all would be so proud. They were amazing. We just can't thank you enough for your support and your prayers. I know many people would send pictures with the bracelets that we passed out, or you got out in the hallway with students' names or adults' names on it, and that really, we felt it. We were just indifferent, just so out of our comfort zone that, but we'll get into more next week. I don't want to take up a lot of time for that, but I will just say it was life-changing, and we really appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Thank
So just kind of to reiterate what Joel said in the early worship after they finished, is that what the point of them coming today was to say thank you for all that you did to enable them to be able to do this mission trip. All the fundraisers and the meals afterward, many people would come and leave money. And Joel said that virtually every time there was $3,000 or $4,000 raised each time that they did a fundraiser and to go toward the trip and to help them to be able to do that. Also, Sunday school classes, individuals gave, and then also prayer. As Joel said earlier, we've been announcing this mission trip for a long time, and people have been praying. We've had special prayers in the services, and just thankful for the Lord answering those prayers. And I think next week we'll get to kind of hear and see kind of more of what God has done. Warren said there'll be some videos and also testimonies, so I'm excited to be here for that, and so I hope you'll make plans to come as well. They'll be doing it in both services. Well, let's begin our singing today with hymn number 210. So let's stand together as we sing, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation."
Welcome. Glad you're part of our traditional service today. Glad that all of you that are visitors today, we're so glad the Lord's led you to worship with us. Take a few minutes, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad to have you this morning. Thank you.
So all the music today, both services, have been geared to the subjects of fear and trust. And, you know, fear is one of the most common phrases or words that we find in the scripture. Many ways, fear not, do not be afraid. Many, many times God said that to the people, or an angel would say that to someone that God had a message for. And so do not be afraid. The Bible says that we have not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we can trust in that. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. So we trust in God. We're going to sing a song that the ensemble's been doing for a while. This is not a performance. This is a sing-along. And we want you to join in praising the Lord and singing about trusting in God Almighty. So let's worship as the ensemble leads us to sing.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. serve. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and I heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Stand and sing our offertory hymn. Actually, we'll wait till the last stanza. How about that? And that'll be better. So we'll sing it. So How Firm a Foundation, hymn number 408. So if you'd like to turn there, please do. Let's sing and praise the Lord. When we get to the last stanza, we will all stand together.
Join me in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to be in your house, to gather brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and to worship you together. Lord, we pray this day that our heart will be committed totally to you, Lord, and that you find this service pleasing, Lord, the singing, the studying of your word, the preaching from the pulpit, Lord, may it bring you honor and glory, Lord. And Lord, this morning we pray that we put all our faith, our trust, and our hope in you and you alone. Lord, as we take up an offering this morning, we just pray that, Lord, you bless it. Lord, multiply it to make you known amongst this community and around the world. And Lord, may it just bring fruit for your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we love you and we need you. And we pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ken. Choir, for leading us. What a great word before we open the word. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and we're going to see that today in Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56 today. We'll be talking about fear and trust. Never let them see you sweat. Never let them see you sweat. Even if you are afraid, even if you are nervous, even if you are anxious, whatever the situation, scenario in life may be, even if you are, that's fine, but never reveal your fear. That's what the culture that I live in has taught me. Culture's taught you the same thing. The culture has taught us, be confident, be strong, even if you're not. Even if you're not confident, even if you're not strong, even if you are filled with anxiety or you're filled with fear, that's fine. That's fine. Just don't act like it. Act like you're confident. Act like you are strong. No matter what the circumstance I am in, don't show signs of weakness, vulnerability. Don't reveal that I am afraid. That's what I've been taught in the American culture that I live in. All right, well, here's the problem with that. The problem with all of that is that it's a facade. It's smoke and mirrors, truth be told. There are many times that I'm afraid. There are times that you are afraid. Well, there are times that we're all afraid. Sometimes those fears are physical fears. We're afraid of something that is going to do harm to us. And so we're afraid. Sometimes those fears are mental. A lot of people suffer. And I mean suffer with anxiety. And a lot of that anxiety is fear. Fear of what could happen, even though it probably doesn't happen. That's not the point. The point is that fear that just grips them. A lot of times the fear is emotional fear, physical fear, spiritual fear. Talked to a young lady this morning because I had said there's a lot of people probably in this sanctuary that's afraid that they're not going to be able to pay the bills by Tuesday. And they're afraid financially. We got all kinds of reasons and this lady came and talked to me. She said, you could not have been. She said, I'm always just filled with anxiety over the money and paying the bills and all, you know. And so we have all kinds of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual fear. And so that fear is something that we have to deal with. And so I think it's very, very, very important as we walk through some of the great psalms, summer psalms for the summer, then it's important that we learn how to deal with fear biblically. On the Wednesday night before May the 17th, 2020, I did a Bible study from one, this is just one of the passages of Scripture that I used that night. So, for those of you that don't remember how easily we forget, but May 17, 2020 was the Sunday that Governor Ivey said we could go back to in-person worship during COVID. The week before, we were kind of hoping that we could go back, but nah, y'all, they wouldn't let us go back that week. So I was a complete and utter mess during that whole time. But the next week, Governor Ivey said, all right, churches, you can go back to in-person worship. And we did. We didn't hang back at all. I saw in Foodland that week, the pastor of the River Church, which is the Church of God that sits on the hill right above Main Channel as you're going back down Gunner Avenue. So I saw Leslie, he's now in Trustful, but I saw him in Foodland. I turned the corner and I saw Leslie. We didn't say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's your church? We didn't say anything. He just looked at me and said, are y'all going back? I said, yes, we are. We will be there. There might not be five of us, but there will be in person. He said, us too. And he said, do you realize that we're the only two churches in Gunnersville that's going back to church Sunday? I said, no. He said, yeah. Just y'all. I thought it was just going to be us, but now I find out y'all, everybody, well, we're going to wait till the fear, that fear of, oh no, that just grips us. And we were one of the only two churches that actually went back to worship on May the 17th. In my lifetime, I've never seen fear like that. I've never seen fear like what we experienced then. People were scared out of their minds. Physically. People were afraid mentally. People were afraid about losing their jobs. Some people couldn't have cared less about the physical COVID-19 and getting the disease. They couldn't have cared less. They were going to lose their job. How am I going to, what am I going to do, Joel? What am I going to, some people were afraid about their finances. Some people were afraid about their business, the school system, the healthcare system. I was obviously afraid of what's going to happen to the church. I wasn't afraid that it was going to fall or falter. Jesus told Peter, upon this confession of faith that Jesus is the Messiah, then not even the gates of hell or COVID will prevail against it. And so I was not afraid of the church in general, but what about our church? What's going to happen with us? When we do come out of this thing, what's it going to look like? I told the story, and I've told it 100 million times. During that time, I'm walking up the hallway. Kathy Reeves is walking beside me. And Kathy, we're all realizing that things have changed. Kathy, walking up beside me, said, what do you fear the most? And I said, the thing I fear the most, Kathy, is that when this thing all shakes out, will I be able to get up on this new horse and ride it? I'm old. At the time, I'm in my late 50s. I've been doing ministry a certain way for a long time, and I like that horse. And now, will I be able to, because it's going to change, things are going to be different, will I be willing and able, capable, Kathy, of getting on a new horse and riding and doing this thing? And so we all experienced that. Well, during that time, it was the Wednesday night, May the 13th, before the Sunday we were to come back on May the 17th. And on that Wednesday night, I stood in here by myself. Nobody was in here. We didn't break the law. I stood in here by myself with an iPad looking at me. And we looked at this passage, and we looked at about 10 other passages of Scripture, all dealing with the issue of fear. And I went through this intricate detail. I mean, all God has created us, and God has created fear in us. So fear is a good thing. But oftentimes we as sinners use fear in all of the wrong ways. We see it in all of the wrong reasons. And that's why God has to tell us over and over and over again, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Trust in me. And so this was one of those passages that I read, Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4. Now, David, in this passage of Scripture, you have to understand, David is experiencing physical fear. So the Philistines are chasing him. And if they catch him, they're going to murder him on the spot. No trial. No 10-day period, no 30 years waiting in jail, no. If the Philistines catch him, they're going to kill him on point. And so David speaks to God, and he says, oh God, have mercy on me for people. Isn't that great? That the first thing that David says when he's fearing for his life, because they are literally breathing down his neck, And the first thing that David says is, wait, not save me, God, but the first thing he says is, Lord, have mercy on me. He knows he's a sinner. If indeed I outrun the Philistines, it'll just be because of your grace and your mercy. I think that's so cool. Oh, God, have mercy on me. People are hounding me. My enemies attack me all day long. They're relentless. They will not stop. So I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me. Many are boldly attacking me. But Lord, when I'm afraid, and that's what I'm in, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what He has promised. I'm going to trust Him there, and I'm going to trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says to His disciples, He says, guys, don't be afraid of what human beings can do to you. And then He says one of the greatest lines in Scripture. Don't be afraid of what human beings can do to you. He says, He looks at His disciples and He says, all they can do is kill you. We as Americans, oh, we just can't stand to hear that. No, our goal as Americans, stay alive. We got to stay alive, stay alive. And Jesus comes along to His disciples and says, guys, all they can do is kill you. That's the only thing they can do to your body is just kill you. And how bad is that going to be, by the way? If they do kill you, God allows them to kill you, you're just going to wake up in heaven for all eternity. So it's not a bad thing. Jesus says, all they can do is kill your body. He says to His disciples, but instead, live in fear, that is, live in awe and reverence of the one who can kill both the body and the soul. The psalmist is on the same track. When I am afraid, when is what he says, not if, but when. So he knows that he's experiencing fear, and you and I experience it as well. When, it literally means in the Hebrew today, at the present moment, now. Philip Keller writes, David realized that his admission of weakness and vulnerability was the key to his relationship with the Father. Listen to that. So here's the great king of Israel admitting something that we don't want to admit in the American culture, that he is weak and vulnerable. He knew he could not depend on himself. He knew that he could not trust himself, that he was not in control. He knew that he needed to be vulnerable and admit that he was weak and put his trust and his faith in his loving Heavenly Father and not himself. There's the key. The King of Israel, the great King David, saying, oh no, I know if I trust me where it's going to end up. I've seen my work. Lord, I'm going to trust in you. He says, when I am afraid, that word afraid, it gives two different emotions. The emotion and intellectual anticipation of harm when things go wrong. It's also used to give that positive feeling of awe and reverence for God the Father. Well, in this particular situation, he's referring to the first one. It's what we feel when fear reigns over us, whether that's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual. In this particular situation, he was saying that security, which is what we all long for, whether it's financial or emotional or physical or spiritual, security is the lack then of fear. My translation of verse 3, and when I say that, I made sure in this, and you know, I do that a lot, okay? So a lot of times I will say, now my translation of this verse or my translation of this passage, okay, when I say that, I am not saying it like arrogantly as if I have a better way of translating the Word of God than theologians who have spent lifetimes going through Hebrew and Greek and understand. I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying it like from my perspective, from a simple-minded, with a simple brain, here's what it says to me. When I am afraid, when I'm afraid physically, and I do have times when I'm physically afraid. When I'm afraid emotionally, I have times when I'm emotionally afraid. When I'm afraid mentally, there are times that I'm mentally afraid. When I'm afraid spiritually, times when I'm spiritually afraid. So when my security, in one of those areas, when my security is in question, when that sense of fear then rises up within me, and it does, the psalmist says, I will trust in God. So David was admitting that he had moments of fear, that he had situations in his life that arise when fear becomes the dominant emotion, that he was not afraid to admit his fear, and he provides the great example of it's okay. He then says, I will trust in you. The word that David uses here means safe, confident, and secure. Not in himself, safe, confident, and secure in the Lord. It expresses the sense of well-being which results from knowing that the rug won't be pulled out from under you. The word expresses the folly of relying on other types of security other than God. So if we trust in anything other than God, then we are going to be disappointed and let down. It doesn't matter what those other things may be. Anything other than God will disappoint. Timothy Keller, not the same Keller, but a different Keller, he once wrote these words, and I found it fascinating because I knew who he was. He's now died and since gone on to be with Jesus. Timothy Keller once wrote, I have been taught, this is a guy that pastored a large church in Manhattan, downtown New York City. I have been taught to put my confidence in myself. And then he writes, and I know that's a lie. I love that. Here's a man that I think should have all the confidence in the world. I've been taught to put my confidence in myself, but I know that's a lie. He said, I've been taught to put my confidence in my money, and he'd lost all of his money at one time. I know that's a lie. King David had more money than he could spend in 100 lifetimes, but he was still afraid. I've been taught to place my confidence in my status, my reputation, but I know that's a lie. Nothing wipes away fear like the Lord. All these other things simply create more fear. God and God alone helps handle our fear. Ken quoted earlier 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So Paul was encouraging Timothy that he was not alone, that he'd been given the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't live in fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. A great theologian from the past once said, when the dark whispers of the enemy try to freeze your very soul, when the shadows of fear cast darkness across your appointed path, trust in God. Look to Him who is in you, for greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Trusting in your own strength will always lead to failure. Exercising your faith will always lead you to victory. Trust in God, rely on His Spirit, and He will always bring victory. So the psalmist, the heart of the gospel in the psalm today says, when I am afraid, Lord, I will trust in You. It is impossible to even know, understand, or accept and have the good news of the gospel that God has given to us in Christ Jesus without faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us it is impossible for us to please the Father, to come to Him for faith and trust if we don't have that faith and that confidence in Him, to come to Him for salvation without faith in Him. When I am afraid, Lord, I will trust in You. Father, thank You for that good word today. We all face fear. King David, me, all of us. It is a God-given emotion in creation, so we have it. But oftentimes, Father, we use it for the wrong reasons. And when we do, Father, when we have fear in the things of this world, then you tell us over and over and over again, from Psalms all the way to the Apostle Paul, more importantly than to Jesus himself, don't be drowned under the water of fear. Trust in the Father. So today, Father, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, where we are afraid, when we are afraid,